Today's daf is daf tzadiches. So we're in the middle of the Gemara had been discussing this pasuk of Zos HaTorah Le'ola Le'mincha Le'chatesh Le'ashim Le'miluim Nezevech Hashlamim, and that there's a hekesh of all these various karbanos, that there's one you so learn from one karban and applies to all them. So where I went through what we learned from Ola, what we learned from Mincha, and we learned, so now we're up to the Chatas. The Gemara says two lines down in tzadiches. What do you learn from the pasuk that says Chatas? The Gemara explains, Ma Chatas just like a chatas that can be miskadesh, that can become kadosh, that can absorb from other karbanos. So it's unclear whether it's mikadesh or miskadesh. There's a machlokus in the girsa. Our Gemara says miskadesh, which means it becomes absorbed, and mikadesh is the aleph, the bach to change it to mikadesh, it miskadesh others. But that concept of transferring over time, so that we learn from achatas. So ma'achatas, miskadesh or mikadesh bibalua, afko miskadesh bibalua. We're going to see later on that the mincha also has a source for this. So then the Gemara says, what do you learn from Asham? So Gemara says, Asham, Ma Asham, Ein Shapir Vishilya Vakadosh Bo, just like the Asham, the embryonic sac, and I think the placenta, are not going to be this fetus, you said?
The fetus?
Right, I'm saying, but what is the embryonic sac or the placenta? I always get confused. Embryonic sac, right? So they're not Mekadesh by an Asham, and the reason being simply because the Asham only comes from a male. So of course, that's not Shaykh for a Zachar. So af kol ein shpir v'shilya kadosh, so too any other carbon, even if it does come from a nekeva, those parts of the nekeva are not kadosh. The Gemara Rashi point asks the question, why don't we learn from an ola? An ola also does not only comes from a zachar. We should say just like an ola, these items are not the shapir, the shilya are not mikadesh. So to all other carbonos, Rashi says, because since an ola is kulo kalil, everything gets thrown on the carbon, on the mizbeach rather, it's a completely different type of carbon, and therefore it's not shayach. You might think every other carbon, also we should say kulu kalil, even the shapir of the shilya. So ola can be used as the model, so it's ashim, the only parts go on the mizbeach, parts don't, and since the shapir and the shilya don't go on, because it's not shayach by an ashim, so to all other carbonos, even in a keva.
Rashi says also that if there is an ubar inside, then you're not makpir those parts from the ubar inside the asham.
Rashi talks about chaylev and shtei klayos. That's a whole thing that it tells us that I don't want to get involved in that. I'm not sure if he says ubar. They say ubar. I didn't see that in Rashi. Shel ubar, yeah. Oh. Okay. Rashi says, all right.
I don't know.
Okay. So then the Gemara says, Kisaver Vlados Kadshim Vavyasan Hein Kadushim, that they must hold that Vlados Kadshim are Kadosh, and done in Efshar, Misha Efshar. So Rashi explains, Vlados Behemos Kadshim Vavyasan Hein Kadoshin, Kishinolden Hein Kadoshin Velo Bimei Iman. They're Kadosh only when they're born, not when they're in the womb. Vigamre Me Asham, we learn this from an Asham, that even though an Asham is not Shayach to have such a concept, we're able to be done in Efshar, Mishi Efshar. So that's what we learn from an Asham, again, that the Shapir, the Shilya, that the fetus, the Ubar, and the Shilya are not Kadosh. So then the Gemara says, Miluim, as also mentioned in the Pasuk, what we learn from Miluim. So it says the Gemara, Ma Miluim Mosrehem Bisrefa, Vein Bali Chaim Bimosrehen. Just like the Bimiluim of the Karbanos brought during the Shivasimei Miluim when they were getting the Mishkan all set, so we said any leftovers were of the Karbanos were burnt, but no Bali Chaim were burnt. Now there were no extra Bali Chaim by the Mishkan, they had everything they needed. Shem told them what to do and they brought those Karbanos, so there are no leftover Bali Chaim. So therefore none of them were burnt because there's nothing to even speak of. But Lamaisa, only the Mosrei and the leftover of the Karbanos parts of the actual behemoths were left over, but no Bali Chaim were burnt because there weren't any to speak of. So too says the Gemara, Av kol Mosrei and Bisrefa, so too all other Karbanos, anything left over from a Karban gets burnt. Vein Bali Chaim b'Mosrei, but if there's leftover animals that are still alive, that you don't burn. So Rashi says, when do you have a case where there's a leftover Bali Chaim? So let's say, if you look at Rashi, four wide lines down, Af kol kol ha-kadshim mosrehem b'sreifa vein Bali Chaim b'mosrehem, shim hayu Bali Chaim b'mosrehem, let's say you have a leftover animal that's still alive, kagon yachid shifrish shnei karbanos lach rios chavachavaso, and he's always a karban nedava, or rather neder, and he set aside two karbanos. So one ends up becoming lost, one becomes extra. So that extra Bali Chaim does not get burnt. Just like by the Mishkan, there were no leftover Bali Chaim, so therefore none were burnt. So too in our case, where there might be Bali Chaim, they wouldn't get burnt either. So then the Gemara says, well, that's what we learn from Miluim. What do we learn from Shlamim, the last part of the Pasuk? Shlamim, as we remember from the beginning of the Masechta, Shlamim is the source of all Pigel. So Shlamim, Ma Shlamim, Mifaglin, Mispaglin, Afkol Mifaglin, Mispaglin. Just like Shlamim, if a person has a machshava, Shalolizman, Shlobim Komo, it's Mifagil, the carbon, and it comes be Mispaglin, and it gets also, we'll see what that means in a second, but it becomes Mispaglin, it can create Pigel, Mifaglin, and it becomes Mispaglin. So to all other carbonos, if you have the machshava, Shlobizman, Shlobim Komo, it's Mifagil, and also can become Mispagel. What becomes Mispagel? If you look at Rashi, around eight wide lines down, the last word Mifaglin, Es HaNisachim. That Shlomim, if you have the raw machshava, it has the ability to Mifagel Nisachim. The Nisachim that are accompanying it, Shimchisha B'Zevach, Af HaNisachim Mifugalim. That's what we learn from the din of Mifagel. Tosos takes issue with Rashi. Tosos, Diyamaschim Mashlomim, the last two narrow lines, if you skip to the end of the Tosos though, where he quotes Rashi, then it says, "Ubechinam dachak, davi matzil meimar shadam mifagel es abasar va'abasar asma mispagel." Why is Rashi looking for an item that's separate from the carbon? Within the carbon itself, the pigel is on the dam, and then the dam is mifagel the basar becomes mispagel. That seems to be a simpler understanding of this shot.
But he's saying that because it only becomes pigel once you do zrika. Is that what he means by dam?
No, I think it was a pigel is the machshava of when you do the zrika, right. about the zrika.
Yeah. But the pigel doesn't happen until he does the zrika, which is the last avodah, right?
The pigel is about the dam, the zrika of
the
dam. And but not about the basar,
right.
But it still impacts,
so it
the,
impacts the basar.
Okay, so then the Gemara says a new brice, the b'masnisa tana mishmed Rabbi Kiva, was taught in the name of Rabbi Kiva, slightly differently, that we learned from the mincha, not what we said the other day, or yesterday, rather mincha is the source, ma mincha miskadeshes bibalua, afko miskadeshes bibalua. So mincha is really the source that the mincha, pigo mincha kvi mikadesh and miskadesh, not from the chatas. So we have two different sources. Do we learn this concept from the chatas like before, or do we learn the concept from a mincha? So Gemara explains, v'yitzterech l'michtav mincha, v'yitzterech l'michtav chatas. You need to use both mincha and chatas as the source. How so? Di ashmin and mincha, if we only taught the din of mincha, that davar miskadesh is bibalua, the aydi di rachicha miblai, since a mincha is very soft, it's able to absorb more, and that we can understand the din by mincha. Aval chatas, which is a piece of meat, emala, we would say maybe the din of miskadesh is bibalua wouldn't apply to meat, k'mashmalan, even it applies to chatas. And let's say it was the opposite. V'yashmein and chatas, it only taught a chatas, mishum de courier, aval mincha emalo tricha. What does courier mean? So you look at Rashi halfway down the wide line, says Rashi, courier, tritrit, okay, I'm not sure what that means in French, balaz, but mitoch she basar av, the basar's thick, nichnas besocha shuman beomko. It sounds like it gets further embedded in the meat. Flour, there are little particles of flour. It's like nothing to go into. It touches it, and very easily it gets absorbed, but there's no depth to it. So somehow, since the basar is deep, it becomes more embedded in the basar, and maybe only basar chatas should be subject to this din of miskadeshes bibalua. Kamashman, even mincha, which is very light and thin, even that has the din of miskadeshes. So we learn both from the mincha and the chatas this din. So then the Gemara says, so now in this brisa of Rabbi Kiva, or the name Rabbi Kiva, where mincha is used as a source of miskadesh bebalua, so then what do you learn from the word chatas? So the Gemara explains, chatas ma chatas ein ba el min achulim. You can only bring chatas from a regular chulin animal. You can't bring it from your meiser animals, and it has to be bayom ubiyado. Yamanis has to be from the right hand. So we learn those three dinim from a chatas af kol. So to all other carbonos need to come from chulin animals. You can't take your meiser to buy animals. It has to be during the daytime. It has to be with your right hand. And so the Gemara wants to know, ubechatas minal. And how do you know these three halachas apply to the chatas itself, that it serves as a source for these three dinim? So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Kra, the Pasuk tells us that if hikriv Aaron es par chatas asher lo, Mishelo velo mishel tibur velo mishel meiser. Has to come from your own pocket. It can't be from a communal fund. It can't be from your meiser fund. It has to be mishelo. So too, from this pasuk, all other kabbalas has to be mishelo. What about bayom? Gemara says bayom. We learn bayom from Chatas. Mibayom tavasa nafka. There's a pasuk that says bayom tavasa, which is applied to all karbanos. This is not unique to a chatas. It says Hashem, read the side in the pasuk for a second. Asher tiva Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. Bayom tavasa b'nei Yisrael lehakiv es karbaneim l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. All karbanos are subject to bayom tavasa. This is not unique to a chatas. That's a source to all karbanos. Gemara says you're right. Kidei nisava. It was just kind of mentioned here in passing. It wasn't really learned from Echatas. This was a general pasuk, b'yom tzavaso, that we know that karbanos are brought by yom, v'lo b'layla. So then the Gemara said, how do we know the din of yad yimanis? That applies to only to Echatas, and that it's learned from Echatas and applied everywhere else. So the Gemara explains, midiraba bar bar chana nafka. It's not learned from Echatas. Rabba bar bar chana teaches us that amarish lakish kol makum shenemar etzba, v'kahuna eino ela yomim. So every single carbon is going to have etzba and kuna, and therefore it's going to be included. You don't need to learn this from a chatas. Rashi explained just to clarify, kidraba bar barchana, kizagadaitach o etzba o kuna, v'ein lecha b'chol elu shalom nemar kohen brakavasan. Every single carbon mentions the word kohen in that context, in which case you need the right hand. So it's not learned from a chatas, it's learned from general psukim. Gemara says you're right. We don't learn the concept of the right hand from a chatas either. Kidei nesava was just there mentioned, they put it as the flow of the whole idea, but it wasn't really learned out from a chatas. So the only lacha we learn from a chatas is the idea of it being mishalo, and velo mishal tibur, velo mishal meiser. But then the Gemara says, by saying, but maybe really we do learn the halacha of yad yimanis when it comes to a chatas. How so? The Gemara says, Savrala Karebi Shimon, the Amar Etzba la Baikuna Bakahuna by Etzba. If the word says Etzba, the pasuk says Etzba, so you don't need the word Kuna. Etzba tells me the right hand, the right finger. But if it says Kahuna, you still need Etzba. In other words, Kuna is really pointless. It's really about the word Etzba. And does not say Etzba by all the Karbanos. It does say Etzba by Achatas. So we learn from here that since Rashi explains Karebi Shimon, a Perek Beis, Kuhuna by etzba ubechatas tervayu ksiv. It says by chatas both the words lakach hakohen midam achatas beetzbao. So just like it says etzbao, the right finger of the chatas, so to all other karbanos has to be the right finger or the right hand performing the avoda. Then finally, the Gemara says, "What do you learn?"
Kohen and etzba. I didn't know that's the right hand.
I don't remember the sugi. Look back in the Gemara. I don't remember. Then the Gemara says, "Asham." What do you from the word Asham? Ma Asham Atzmosav Mutarin Af Kol Atzmosav Mutarin. Rashi explains Ma Asham Atzmos Mutarin. The bones of Asham are permitted. How are they permitted? Lasos Mehem Kalim. You're allowed to make Kalim. You can make utensils out of bone. And it's permitted. Anishamati Rashi's I heard from my Rebbe or from someone. Sharei Nechal Kohanim. Benoser Ba'atmos Lo Shayach Ela Bedavar Hanechal. Why? Because the carbon Asham is eaten by the Kohanim. But since the atzmos is not shaykh to be eaten, so therefore the bones are not subject to any halachas, they're completely mutter, there's no din of me'ila, no din of achila, and therefore you can make kalim. So just like that din applies to an asham, so to all other karbanos, the bones are permitted. Now, it's interesting, the orzer who asks... So the orzer who asks the question, he wants to know... but shouldn't the bones at least become usr because it's boleya, it absorbs any of the isr? So that should be usr, you can't make kalim. You have now isr of kachim, that's balua into the bones. So the Or HaZeruah concludes from here that it must be that bones don't absorb things. Because if it would absorb things, it should be usr. And that's what the din of the Or HaZeruah. So the Mordechai has a hard time with it. Mordechai says that's very hard to imagine. He says that it's not true. The bones seemingly do absorb, and it should require hagala. I mean, or is there a paskin? Actually, if you have bone china, you have made something out of bone, and you have a trefa in there, you don't have the kasher. You can mamish use it for a trefa, and use it for, it doesn't absorb anything. Just clean it out and wash it. That's how the or is there a paskin. But the Mordechai says that's crazy. He didn't say that, but he doesn't like that. And he says that, in fact, bones material does require hagala if it absorbs anything treif. If that's the case, he says, how come the bones of Asham and of Asham or other karbanos are mutter? if we say a bone is able to absorb, doesn't absorb then the iser of kachim? And how are you allowed to go ahead and use it, make into kalim? So at the end of the day, there's a, the Chelkas Yaakov, the Chazanish both say that Shigzeir Shakasif. The din of Marika Vishtifa, the din of Shavira, the din of all that we learn in the Pasuk, is all based on whatever the Torah tells us. Torah tells us that Klei Chinechoshes requires Marika Vishtifa, and Klei Cheres requires Shavira. Only that which is mentioned in the Torah requires a halacha. Any material that's not mentioned in that context doesn't require to do anything. It's a Gezeres HaKasef. So therefore, since it doesn't tell us what to do with the Kajim bones, we could completely use it. And just like similar to Tefilas Kalim, Tefilas Kalim lists a number of things that metal requires Tefilas Kalim. The poems can say anything that's not mentioned in the Torah doesn't require Tefilas Kalim. Does rubber, does plastic require Tefilas Kalim? No, it's not mentioned in the Torah. But the smart would be, of course it should. What's the difference between plastic and rubber versus metal? There really is no difference. But since the Torah says, because there's a cause of only certain metals require Tefilas Kalim, that which is mentioned doesn't require Tefilas Kalim. So here's well. Only that which the Torah tells you to do Shavira or to do Mikra Vashifa requires. Anything that doesn't require any deedim with regards to Kadshim. But with respect to the Hagalas Kalim and a treif getting in there, it's going to be treif. And you would have to kasher it. So I would imagine, they didn't say this, but I would imagine what would happen in Lamais, if you take the bones of an Asher, you probably first have to do Haggalah on it, and then you probably would have to be able to use it. That's my guess. But, okay.
So, but talking about, this is Kotche Kalim and Kotche Kotchim, and except for Oda, what are we talking about?
These are all of them. All we learn from Asher, it applies across the board to all Karbanos that they require. Bones are mutter. Okay, Gemara says the last line of the Amud here, Amar Rava. Pshitali, it's obvious to me. Dam chatas lamata v'dam ola lemala. There's dam chatas on the bottom. There's dam ola on top of it. Taun kibus. It requires kibus. What's the case? Take a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, dam chatas lamata dam ola lemala. Nafal dam chatas tchila ala beged. First, some dam of the chatas falls onto the beged. It gets absorbed. The chazer venitas dam ola al also kesem. Then the blood from the ola falls mamish in the same exact spot. You required kibus. Why? Kibus dam chatas because we said the kibus is only by dam chatas. So dam chatas is the first thing. Even though it's now covered up by dam ola, what's absorbed in the beged is dam chatas. So that's an obvious halacha. What isn't as obvious? By rava dam ola lemata v'dam chatas lemala. Let's say first dam ola gets absorbed. There is no din of kibus by dam ola. But then on top of that, there's dam chatas. So now as we say dam chatas is also absorbed in the beged, does it require kibus? Maybe it doesn't. Mahu. Do we say the din of kibus? This is a very lamdash shaila. The mahu, mishum nogeya v'hu v'had nogeya. Is the reason why you need kibus is because of negiyas. It's touching. And the dam chatas, even though it may not be absorbed because the dam ola already went in first. Look at Rashi just to clarify what's going on here. V'had nogeya, Rashi says. No, shadam ola nivla bebeged. The ola is now absorbed in that spot. Uch shenafel dam chatas olav nogehu bebeged. It only touches the surface of the beged. Aval eno nivla. It's not absorbed in it. The savale bebalua dam ola. It's already too absorbed, too saturated from the dam ola. So the dam chatas is only in the surface, but it's touching the beged, but it's not embedded in the beged. So does that, is a din based on nogeya requires kibus? Or the Gemara says, Odilma Mishim Baluahu Vahalo Bala. Is it based on absorption and the Dam Chatas in this scenario is not Nivla? So the Gemara says, Ahadar Pashta De'ein Tunin Kibus. A paskin that Kibus is based on Balua, that which is absorbed. And since in this case the Dam Ola is absorbed and the Dam Chatas is only on the surface, it does not require any Kibus. There's an interesting discussion they bring here. We've discussed this in the past. That how could you say the dam chatas, which is on top, the dam ola is in the beged, it's balua, dam chatas is on top, and the Gemara says dam chatas is no geya. But isn't there a chatzitza? Isn't there a chatzitza between dam ola and dam chatas? The dam ola is in the beged, and some of it's on the surface still. Dam chatas falls on top of that. The dam chatas isn't touching the beged. The dam ola is still separating. It's a chatzitza between dam chatas to the actual beged. So this is a question that the Achronim ask.
For what? This is in there for what?
And then it's not even a gear. It's not even a gear going on here. It's touching the dam ola. It's not touching the dam. It's not even a shaila here. This question shouldn't even get off the ground. How could they assume that there's a negia? The mice, we don't paskin that's based on negia, but how could you even suggest that it's a negia? So what they end up answering is that so there's this sefer called Dam Zvachim. They quote here: "Shadam ha'ola nivla bebeged, shmishum zeh dam chadas hanita zalava ach mikem no ge bebeged." It's called touching it. The problem is we have min bemino eino chotetz, and since it's min bemino eino chotetz, therefore it's not a problem of chatzitza. It's the same min. But then he ends up saying it's not really the same min because one's dam ola and then one's dam chadas. So he ends up saying, really, we're saying that. One second here. I'm sorry, I misunderstood this. So he wants to know how come the idea here is that. Actually, I'm going to forget that. I need to look at this better. Okay, either way, there's a din here about Negius, whether we say min bimino normally is eino chotetz. That's a concept we say in general. But we say it's not able to accomplish Negia. He doesn't quote this, but based on the Gemara in Bukhara, there's a discussion if, let's say, a mother gives birth to two children at the same time, the mamish come out at the same time. So if there's a chatzitza, so we say that mimbino ain't a chotetz. It's not a chatzitza between the rechem and the bechor. But then the Gemara says, but don't you still need a negia? You know, sometimes that saying mimbino is not chotetz, but it's not going to give you a negia. When you need a mamish and negia by certain things, this is not going to accomplish that. So he ends up saying here that since the pasuk says v'chol asher yiza midama ela beged, you need to be on the beged mamish. You need mamish a negia. Therefore, even if you say min bemino normally eino chotetz, so here you would say it is a chatzitza since you mamish need a negia. Okay, a little bit unclear. I'm sorry. Then the Gemara says five lines down in the Gemara. Amar Rava, pshitali, it was obvious to me. Dam al bigdo chotetz. Let's say there's a dam on the beged, so that's a chatzitza. V'im, it's a chatzitza with regards to what? So Rashi explains the chotetz linen tevila bebeged shenitma. So let's say you have a beged, there's blood on it, and you want to be tova to make it tahor. So dam is considered a chatzitza. You need to clean off the stain, and then you can put it in the mikvah. But im tovach, if the individual is a shochet, he slaughters things, and he's comfortable with blood being there, he gets bloody pretty much. Ain't a chotetz, since that's how he's normal. He's not makbid alav. And therefore, Rashi explains, Sheino makbid b'dam shal habigdo. So he's able to be tovel his beged, even though there's dam on it. Then the Gemara says, Ravav al bigdo, chotetz. Ravav is, Rashi explains, is some type of a shuman, a chelev, a shava, wax, oil, fat, that's on the beged. So that's also chotetz. Ravav is chotetz. But let's say, imocher, if he's a seller, and he's used to selling these types of items, and he gets dirty all the time, so then the Ravav Ehu ain't a chotetz, it's not chotetz. If he sells these fats all the time, it's not chotetz. So it depends on hakpada or not hakpada. So then the Gemara asks, Bai Rava, Dam the Ravav al Bigdo Mahu. Let's say he has both blood and fat on his beged, what's halacha? Im Tavachu Tebigle Mishim Ravav. What's the Shaila? If he's a Tavach, so granted the Dam doesn't bother him, but he's makbid on the Ravav, the Shuman. He's not used to having fat around. V'mocher ravavu, if he's a seller of fat, so then tepik lemishim dam, he should be bothered by the blood that's there. So what's the shaila of Rava? So Rava says, lo tzricha de'avid havaha. He's both. He does two jobs. In the nighttime, in the daytime, he's a tavach, in the nighttime, he's a mocher ravav. So he's comfortable around blood and fat. So neither one is a chatzitza. So what's the shaila? So then it shouldn't be a chatzitza. Vade should be a good tevila if there's dam and ravav on the beged. So Gemara says, this is the shaila. Do we say person's only makbid on one type of stain, but two stains they are makbid on? Or maybe he's not bothered by both. He's comfortable with both of them being there. Even though they're two types of stains, he's not makbid. In which case, it would be considered not. It would not be considered chatzitza. And the Gemara ends off a teku a hajer lach dam chatas.
There's no question about robe. How much blood are we talking about? I mean, if it's rove, even if he's not makbid, shouldn't that be taken into consideration? When we say tefila, we always say that.
You know, when it comes to chatzitza, the Raisa, you're correct. We only say rove chatzitza makbalav, but if it's rubo velo makbid or miyit v'makbid, that is a chatzitza midirabanan. So I'm not sure we're talking about chatzitza midirabanan here. That's a possibility. We are talking about chatzitza midirabanan here. That certainly can.
Bring it in the note up here. Something's not considered an interposition by Torah unless it covers the majority of the garment. The owner objects to being there rabbinically. Something constitutes an interposition if either is a majority or the owner objects to being there.
What number is that?
Five.
So I'm saying we're talking about here a case of rove or even miut.
Seems like we're talking about miut. He doesn't say it explicitly. It seems like we're talking about miut rabbinically. He doesn't say that explicitly.
Okay. And they based on the sugya, they quote Rabbi Yerucham, and it's brought down in the Ramah as well, that a tavach who has dam bagufo, it's not chotitz. So they all ask the question, our sugya is talking about dam bebeged. But to now jump to dam on the basar, that's going to be chatitza. And he brings the Shvus Yaakov says, based on the sugya we had in Zvachim earlier, that the Kohen will walk around with all the dam on his feet. We said that was a chatitza. If the dam is lach, it's a chatitza. Only if it was yavesh was it okay. I'm sorry, if it's lach, it's a chatitza. If it's yavesh, it's a chatitza. So we see that the dam babasar is considered a chotitz. And our sugya is only talking about the beged. I don't know how the Rabbeinu Yerucham makes a jump and says it applies to the flesh as well. So the Machzor Shekel answers based on this idea of Ezra that our sugya is talking about only if it's miut, only a little bit of blood. Therefore, it's fine if it ends up on the beg. If it's on the body of the person, since it's a miut and also ain't a makbir lav, it's fine. But the sugya over there by the Kohen was talking about the regel. And since the regel was the concern stepping up, it was a rove of the regel, of the leg, most of it was full, even though ain't a makbir lav, it's rubot still, it's going to be a problem. Now all this depends, just to be clear with Ezra's question now, midiraisa chatzitza, if it's rubo u'makbir lav, that's midiraisa. The Gemara took it says, if it's rubo ain't a makbir lav, or miut u'makbir lav, one or the other, it's dirabanam. If it's miut ain't a makbir, that's completely fine here. So the case here has to be where it's only miut on the tavach's beged and he's not makbid, or miut on his basar, he's not makbid alam.
It would seem that it's making it, it's going by limb.
Exactly, that's a chiddush. We go by limb.
In the beged, you could say, listen, maybe it's the row of the sleeve. Meaning the same way that you're saying that it's a row of the foot, you can apply the same concept to the beg.
It could be that we do like that when it comes to chatzitzas by mikveh as well, and the hair of this chatzitza and the hair of the head, we don't take into account the whole body, everything's separate. I'm not sure how much we separate everything.
Right.
But as a side point here, the fact that now we understand we're talking about a chatzitza only midirabanan, it's just fascinating how a chatzitza midirabanan could disqualify a tevila Daraisa here on these dinim. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just do this next Mishnah. The Mishnah moves quickly. The Mishnah we're not going to understand fully. It's a lot of questions from the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to have to explain in the next few days, but the Gemara begins as follows. The next parak. The parak's called Tivil Yom. This is what, the 12th parak? So Tivil Yom, u'mechusir kipurim, what? Mechusir kipurim, einan chalkin, b'kachim lechol le'erev. Let's say a person's Tivil Yom. I mean, he went to the mikvah, he's a Tivil Yom, went that day, but he's not tahor until Erev Shemesh, until sunset. Or Mechusa Kippurim, he did everything he needs to do, he just hasn't brought the final karban for his Tara process. You cannot divvy up the karbanos for him to eat today, so for that he'll be able to eat in the evening. Even though in the evening he'll be completely tahor and kosher to eat, since right now, but Yom, he's not tahor, you don't mechalik the karbanos to him. Then the Mishnah says, Onen, a person who lost a relative, is aninus until the burial. Onen is nogea, he's allowed to touch the karbanos, he's not metameit. Veino makri, but he can't be makri of it. We learned this earlier in the second parak. Veino cholik lechol erev. We also don't give him food for him to eat later on, even though by nighttime, Belaili, he's not going to be aninus anymore. You don't divide now for him to eat later. Bali mumin, bain bali mumin, overin bain bali mumin, kuvun. Bal mumin is a certain blemish. The sugyas and bacharos talk about the various mumin. So whether it's a mum over, which is something that passes. Right now he's a mum. He has a certain, I don't know, it could be a cataract or something. I don't think it applies to quantum, but it comes and goes. That's a mum over. What? Huh?
Eyebrows,
that's one of them as well. Or if it's a mum kavua, a person's missing a limb, which is forever. So then these things you can be chulkin v'ochin. You can divide, and he's able to eat from the karbanos. Avalo makrivim, he's not allowed to be makriv abalmum. So then the Mishnah has a yisod, a principle, which is actually going to go against what we just saw. Kol she'ein roi lavod, anyone who can't do a voda, ain't a chaluk b'basar, can't get basar. V'chol she'ein la, so we just said the balmum doesn't do a voda, but he does get basar. So that the Rashi alludes to, and the Gemara is going to ask that question. V'chol she'ein lo basar, anyone who gets no meat, ain't lo b'oros, doesn't get any of the hide. Afilu tamei, b'shas zrikas damim, v'tar, b'shas hakter chalavim, Eino chalak bebasar. Let's say the guy is tameh during the zrika, but he becomes tahor during the burning of the fats. That doesn't work. You have to be tahor during the avoda. Shenamar, it says hamakiv es dam hashlamim. Those who are makiv dam hashlamim v'sachelev mipnei aron lo tiyeh shok hayamim ulamana. Those who can makiv currently, right now, the dam and also the chelev, only those who are tahor now during the avoda get a chelek of the shok hayamim lemana. Anyone who's not tahor during shas avoda, don't. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day, wonderful Shabbos, and.